Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 9. And tonight we are joined by Mr. Andre Dominguez. We're going to be talking about pinholes, talking about some of our favorite accounts, and some of our favorite cameras. Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. I hope everyone's had a great week. And we are back, and this is show number 9. And Andre, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Corey. How are you?
I'm good. We're waiting for Andrew to chime in. He should be chiming in any moment. So I'm going to have to say that we have Sunday night's favorite co-host on a Thursday night. There's Andrew.
Hi.
Hey, Andrew. How are you?
Yesos.
Good. How's Greece?
Yesos. I think that means hello. I'm not sure.
Well,
I'm fine. I've not had too much beer. You're fine. I'll be fine. I'll be good. I promise.
All right. So we got Andre here.
It doesn't sound like the Negative Positives podcast, do you?
Yeah.
Should I just keep repeating myself for the next 15 minutes and see where that goes?
Exactly. Then just delete the episode and re-record.
There you go. We love you, Mike. We love you, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. Big love, Mike.
Yeah. So, Andre, welcome to the show.
Hello, Andre.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. It's a to be here.
In a weird twist of fate, I've been trying to get onto Mike's been trying to get me onto you guys' show for the last two or three weeks, and here you are on our show. So sorry about that, Mike. But we'll talk Sunday, I promise.
Nobody asks me. Nobody asks me.
Oh, well, you guys got to have him on next.
Well, Andrew, we're still trying to figure out some technical difficulties to, you know, to get international visitors on. So, you know, do not worry. We'll have you on.
We're like dealing with a 7-hour time difference, I think, now. And
yeah,
that I'm very aware of. We have the additional problem, though, of not having Wi-Fi in the legendary Gutter Man Cave. So there's a bunch of need to kind of solve first to sort of eventually perhaps, you know, move away from Anchor, and go to something a little bit more sustainable over time.
Cool.
Yeah.
So Andre, first off the bat, the camera I sent you that you so graciously purchased for me that I purchased off of eBay and decided I didn't like it.
Hang on. did you make a good profit on this, Corey?
I did not. I was a super nice guy, and I was completely honest with Andre, and I said, this is how much I paid for it. If you let me get that out of it and cover my shipping, it's yours.
You told me you paid $10 for it. So what did you charge him?
Only 80.
Now, wait a second.
Yeah, right. Something seems fishy here.
Thank you so much, Corey, for doing that. While I was out shooting with Corey on Worldwide Pinhole Photography Day, I was mentioning to him how I was pining after a zero image 6x9, and he, you know, very coyly, you know, let it slip that he had, you know, purchased one on eBay, and so I was obviously super jealous. And, you know, I get a message a few days later being like, so I'd ended up not liking the camera. Do you want it?
Yeah.
Six by nine is a lovely big.
It is.
Oh, I'm a big fan of the 6x9 format. I shoot my Fujifilm GW690 a lot.
Me too.
Like 6x9 slide film. Oh, that looks really nice.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
You're looking forward to the return of Ektachrome, aren't you? I saw somewhere.
I'm very much looking forward to the return of Ektachrome, and you know, to all of the listeners of the Lensless podcast, when that comes out, guys, buy the hell out of it in 35 so that we can encourage Kodak to make it in 120 as well.
120. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so how did you like that camera? Did you get it? It's too big for me. I don't like it. I picked it up and I was just right off the bat. I was like, I don't like this thing.
I honestly thought it was the perfect size. I had been shooting my little Ondu Pocket 135 for, you know, a couple of weeks now, and I really like it. You know, it's nice and small, but I wanted something that, you know, A, was a little bit, you know, beefier in terms of the negative, but also that I could feel, you know, a little bit more sort of substantial carrying it around, so it's not like some like small little thing on the end of like a larger tripod. So I
right.
really loved it. The cable release adapter came in handy so much, especially with the short exposure times on the, you know, bright sunny day with no ND filters. But man, I shot four rolls of film today. So the
wow.
first four rolls in the camera, one of Ilford Pan F, one of Ilford FP4, Delta 100, and T-Max 100. I have not yet developed these, but as soon as I get them developed and scanned, I'll post them over on the
but
Facebook
group. Andre, your rolls are only like 2 inches long, aren't they? That's what I heard.
And 35 for my beginning test. Yes, they were. So, you know, if
it's 120, isn't it?
What Andrew is referring to, I made a decision kind of early on when I was starting to get into pinhole about a month ago that I wasn't going to be shooting Fuji Acros. You know, this was before the discontinuation, but I just kind of thought like, A, you know, it's coming. You know, it's not going to be around here forever. I don't want to fall in love with it and then have my heart broken or spend a bunch of money kind of hoarding it like some people do. So I wanted to kind of go through and test out a bunch of different films that I knew had more staying power than Acros and see how I liked them. So what I was doing was getting 36 exposure rolls, 35 millimeter film, bringing them into my dark bag with one of those like reloadable like black plastic cassettes, and essentially just pulling out, you know, quarter lengths of the film and, you know, cutting them down and spooling them into those reloadable cassettes to have, you know, for each 36 exposure roll, essentially now have four mini rolls that I could use to test out that particular emulsion and see how I liked it. So,
yeah,
you know, Corey saw firsthand that dividing that roll into four and only having like six or seven shots made for a lot of time spent reloading. But, you know, the benefit of that is that I'm slowly kind of identifying and quickly which stocks that I like without having to go out and spend like 6 hours getting 36 shots taken, which I always struggle with.
Sure.
There's two points I'd make here. One is, when a film stock is discontinued, don't mourn over it. Well, you can be a little bit sad for a while, but get over it and just say, thank you very much. It's been great knowing you. And then you support those remaining ones and anybody
exactly.
new, you know, and you just get on with it. And also, when I got into film photography back in the Victorian ages, it was very useful to me to contemplate for a time and just try that in different developers so that you only change one variable at a time, you know, because if you're constantly chopping and changing, particularly keep something has to be kept constant. You need a constant, otherwise you'll drive yourself nuts. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah. Andre dropped out. We lost him.
So did we? Well, just me and you, buddy.
Yes, me and you. I sent him a request, so hopefully he'll be back in a second.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Andre comes from Brazil. I was going to ask him about that if I had time in between breaths, you know? His breaths,
right.
I mean. Yeah. And ask him about his background. North Carolina, because he's not far from you, is he?
He is not far from away. So hang on real tight and hopefully he'll come right back in. But yeah, when we were shooting, he was burning through the 35 millimeter rolls. With the first couple of times I saw him do it, I was like, what are you doing? I was like, man, what are you doing? You're like burning. I was like, you just changed rolls a second ago. And then he showed me what he was doing and I was like, oh, okay, that's cool.
So at that point, he used 120 film in anything else up to that point?
Yeah, I guess he must have been using it in his. There he is. Hey, Andre.
Hey, Anchor Gremlin's got me.
Yeah, that's all right.
We carried on manfully without you. You're fine, buddy. Don't worry. So I was just saying to Corey, had you been using 120 film up until you got this new camera from Corey, or was it just 35?
For pinhole or in general?
Well, in general.
Yeah, no, I've definitely been shooting medium format for quite a while. I think, you know, if I'm honest with myself, it's my favorite, you know, family of formats. I really like the detail, the cameras that I have for that format are some of my favorite. 36 exposure is just often.
You mentioned the GW69. You mentioned the GW690, didn't you? So, yeah, that's one of my favorites too.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, I was like the Ondu was great at the beginning for kind of like getting my feet wet with pinholes, seeing if I liked the look of the images and I liked the workflow. And then once I, you know, really kind of solidified that I enjoyed it, I knew that I wanted a medium format pinhole camera, preferably something that was 6x9.
This bigger format, the next stop is the reality so subtle 6x12 or 6x17. That's what you got to get next, buddy.
Yeah. I know that that's probably going to be coming at some point.
The 6x17 is a great camera. I have that camera.
I have the 6x12. Obviously, you get six frames, but I have a 6x17 back that I put on my large format camera, and then you're just getting those. Is it that's four frames, I think, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're flying through. I fly through those. Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you, with that 6x17 format, or six, sometimes I guess it's 6x18, you really have to pay a lot of attention to what you're shooting, you know, because you could have your subject in the middle and it could be a great subject, but then you have all this space continuing on either side.
I'm a little bit worried about it. Too wide.
It's not. You just have to, it's one of those cameras where you, when you see a scene, you say, oh, this is what, you know what I mean? And you'll shoot it with it. You know what I mean? It's not it's just not one of those cameras. That's how I shot it anyways. I only, whenever I came across a scene that I know would accommodate and with the subject that would fill the whole thing and it would just keep interest in the whole scene. You know what I mean?
So would you go out, for example, with your 6x6 just for, you know, general purpose stuff, but have the 6x17, you know, kind of stowed away just for that elusive shot?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, sometimes I'll pass a scene or you'll see a scene during your day travels and you'll say, oh, that would look really good wide, you know, so I would come back another day when it was cloudy or foggy, you know, or whatnot. And that's pretty much kind of how I shot with it. I very rarely just use it as like a point and shoot and just carried it around and said, oh, what is this going to look like? You know what I mean? Because you only get four shots. So
I think you have to be more considered. My reality 6x6 and indeed the zero, I would have those with me quite often, and I use those in very much an opportunistic way. But when I take either my large format cameras or the panoramic pinholes, then things are a bit more thought out, and I'll give it a bit more consideration to what I normally would do.
Sure.
Yeah, I honestly think that's kind of how I'm going to end up using the zero image 6x9, is because, like, you know, like Corey said, it's a decently sized camera. You know, for my purposes, like, would pretty much require using a tripod. I like using the cable release if I have that option. I did order the filter adapter from them, so that's on its way as well, and I've got like a whole set of filters to use for that. So that's definitely going to be sort of my more, you know, considered, like, planned out approach, like on the weekends, like go and pack a pinhole bag and go out and visit the places that I've seen during the weekend, said, like, you know, made mental notes of like, oh, I should go there on the weekend and, you know, shoot this on pinhole. Whereas I think something like the Ondu Pocket 135, where I know that eventually I'm probably going to end up getting like a reality so subtle 6x6 that I can just, you know, chuck in one of the pockets of my bag and, like you said, have it be more opportunistic just as I see things just pull out that tiny little camera and take a shot.
So you mentioned filter adapter for the reality. No, not the reality. The
zero.
So is it the same functionality? I'll ask you, Corey, because you'll probably know, as the 6x6 that has the, if you've got the one with the shutter release, the little bit that either slides or flips up. How does a filter adapt? How does that work?
Well, what it is the filter adapter for the zeros have a little slot on the side. And you can either use this, if you're using the shutter release, it has maybe about a quarter of the base removed so that the shutter can go up and down. Mm-hmm. And if you're using the traditional slide shutter on the zero, it only has a little slot for the shutter to slide in and out of it. You have to specify when you buy it, I think.
Okay. Well,
I'm
such an idiot. You know, I turned up to Worldwide Pinhole Day with my zero, and I put the cable release adapter on it that I fitted retrospectively, I thought I'd put my cable release in the bag, and I got to Norwich Cathedral with my tripod set up because there was no exposures less than 40 minutes.
Wow.
And I thought, I need my cable release, and I got the cable release out, and it was for my Nikon F2, which is, if anyone knows the Nikon system, the F2 adapter is very specific. It won't fit on any normal cameras.
Right.
And I thought, oh, I'm going to have to hold the shutter open for half an hour. So I went up to Alex Yates, who's going to be on the podcast in a couple of weeks.
Yes, and Alex, you're coming.
I told this to him and said, he said, well, just slide it over. I said, pardon? He said, slide it over.
Yeah.
I said, I had this camera 15 years and I didn't know you could slide that little thing over. Anyway, there we go.
Good
That's
job.
My side.
Thanks, Alex.
But yeah, the Andre just adds another dimension. You know, Corey there will stick his neutral density and his red filters and slow that boy right down.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I had actually, packed the filters with me today when I went out shooting, but it was that kind of thing where, dedicating the entire roll to having that filters, because the neat thing that I found out with the 06x9 is that the 52mm filters, you can actually fit them in behind the pinhole, like inside the body of the camera. If you just sort of shove them in there, they're kind of held together by friction, as long as you don't jostle the camera too much. So I did have an option if I wanted to, but before I loaded up another roll of film, I'd pull up the pinhole assist app and look at what the times would be with the individual reciprocity characteristics of each film. And most of the time it was like, well, I'm not going to put an ND filter in there, and I'm not going to put in a colored filter that might not work for all of the shots on this roll. So sure. I'm very excited to get that filter adapter in soon so that I can start making better use of these.
I know there's a big debate about not a big debate, but some people there's talk about it, about putting a full-size filter inside because I have reflections. I don't know. I've never had any problems with it. I've always used the little gels. I tried the full-size filters a couple of times, and then I just was like, I got all this gel. Why don't I just cut this gel down? So then I just cut it down. I didn't have to worry about it.
The $15 gel.
Yeah.
So I have some of that expensive gel that you sent me. And
you guys better be thinking lucky of yourselves.
I've taped some of that inside my zero image 4x5 camera. I've taped, at the moment I have a yellow piece of gel taped in there. And
yellow seems to be the one I like the most. Red kind of adds a lot of contrast if you're not careful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'll really jump it up, but. Yeah, it's cool.
So, Andre, you're a young chap, I think, aren't you? Not like us old crusties.
Andre's 13.
Tender age of 22.
13?
Oh, you're not 20. I have a son your age, but I have to say, I wish my son was into film photography. So, you could be...
That's funny.
So, you're... Did your father, Mike, he encourage you into film photography?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm trying to follow in his footsteps, you know, like what I lacked in inheriting his musical chops, I definitely gained, you know, like creative artistic vision and photography. No, but like, yeah.
But you were born, you come from somewhere called, am I pronouncing it correctly? Recife, R-E-C-I-F-E.
Hang on.
Is that right?
We
lost him again.
Hang on.
He doesn't want to talk to me. He doesn't want to come from, he sees. So if you want to get him back?
Yeah.
We'll get the technology sorted out, dear listener, one of these days. But there's the fun. At least we have. Maybe. So coming up, while we're waiting for Andre to come back,
we have some
real good guests lined up. And some of them are a little bit hesitant, so I'm going to name them and shame them. So now, so we have dear old Alex Yates, who organised the Norwich Pinhole. I think he's fairly keen. Very extremely talented John Wilkening, whose handheld pinhole colour work is just stunning. If you haven't seen John Wilkening's work, check that out. He's off on a road trip around Utah at the moment, with a variety of film cameras and small pinhole camera, but I can't remember what make it is. And we've got the very reluctant... There he is, he's back.
Yeah. I guess Anchor doesn't want me telling my life story.
No, it's twice now I've mentioned that. I was just I was just giving a shout-out to some of the people that are coming on, as well as the illustrious Andre Dimitri. We've got the Welsh Dragon himself, Alex Purcell at Granny Blur. He's coming on. Todd Slemmer from the European Pinhole. He's coming on. James Guerin, Reality So Subtle's James.
He's on the next show.
Right, yeah. And guess who I reached out to? And I'm going to put him on the spot now. Is Graham? So I've reached out to Graham Jago, and he's going to.
Yes.
Yeah.
No offense to Andrew and to Alex, like, you know, those are all like awesome people that I'm super excited to hear, but put Graham Jago on this podcast, please.
So I guess we have to say here at this point too, tell them congratulations, because they hit their 100th episode.
They did, yeah. Absolutely. They got a telegram from the Queen.
Did they really?
Yeah, that's what happens when you reach 100.
Oh, wow. Thank God Rachel showed up around the 50th episode, and she really brought it home for him, you know what I mean? I don't know what.
Well, she's certain sense of calm and artistry to the lineup, hasn't she, really?
Yeah, definitely. Mm.
I'd like to say that I had the same effect on the Negative Positives podcast, but I think I just acceptable for Mike to get, you know, drunk on air, because at least he's doing so with a friend.
Well, he's normally okay with you on Monday night.
Yeah, I try to keep him in check. I try to keep it classy.
You do a good job, buddy.
It's funny.
So let me ask you again, and don't hang up this time. So I read in my thorough research that I did 10 minutes before we came on air, that you originally somewhere called, is it Recife? Is that how you pronounce that in Brazil? Or is that?
Yeah, it means like, I think it means like coral reef in Portuguese. But yeah, it's a nice little, you know, beach town in Brazil. I moved away when I was 2 months old, spent 6.5 years growing up all over the state of Florida. And then 6 years in the United Arab Emirates, 3 years in Portugal, senior year of high school in Venezuela, and then now I'm here at the University of North Carolina.
So did you travel around because of parents, jobs, that sort of thing?
Yep, my dad's a civil engineer, so wherever the project was, usually kind of transportation-based, airports, you know, bridges, stuff like that, we would go along in tow, and... yeah, eventually once I was all done with school, decided to go back to dad's alma mater, come here to UNC, and, you know, have 4 years of more or less staying in the same place, which was definitely a change.
And did your father Did he inspire you, or did you get that from? Where did you get your inspiration?
I've asked my parents, you know, like, you guys obviously took photos, like, you know, back in the day. Like, did you guys ever have, like, cool cameras? Do you have any of your negatives or like, photo albums? And they kind of just say, no, not really. We had, like, you know, cheap little point and shoots that we just, like, pick up whatever was cheapest. But, you know, unfortunately, I don't think I come from a family that had a super huge, you know, appreciation for photography, because my attempts at you know, collecting old negatives from family members and scanning it for them proved very unsuccessful.
Well, that's all right. Just pick it up and now. It's up to you,
yes,
Andre.
Yes, absolutely. And what are you studying at North Carolina, if I may be so cheeky to ask you?
Keg stands.
I am a business administration major with a Spanish for the professions minor.
And you're going to be going to City Still.
That is correct. This summer I will be turning at City Still in sunny Los Angeles, California. You know, they're a pretty small team, so I'm going to be doing a little bit of everything. But my kind of, you know, big and ambitious goal for the summer is to start helping them with the beginning stages of expanding out into Latin America, Portugal, and Spain, identifying some.
Wow.
Distributor relationships and trying to, you know, get their film to places that either it hasn't been able to get to before or hasn't been able to get to at a reasonable price.
Cool. And is that a paid post, or is that like an internship, or what is that?
Yeah, so it's an unpaid internship, but luckily, you know, I'm blessed to have a very generous scholarship program here at UNC that will be funding in the summer. In addition, I've been told by CineStill that, you know, I don't really have to worry about, you know, having access to their film to shoot over the summer. So I think I'm going to be pretty, you know, I get to sort of pinch my pennies in some areas, which will free up some room to visit some people out there in California, you know, go to a bunch of meetups, some beers and cameras meetups over there.
Yeah.
So it'll be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, and
all right.
You know, we're always on the lookout for freebies. You know, just saying. You know, just if you want to test things out,
send them our way.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I will do my best. I will flex what little power I have there.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back.
Sounds good.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, Andre, we wanted to talk to you about the new box.
Absolutely.
And if you guys have any plans for maybe doing a pinhole for that, or would someone who bought it be able to maybe make their own pinhole plate, you know, and then they can just put it in place of one of the retractable, changeable lenses?
So I'm really glad that you asked this, Corey. I think when we were kind of going through the process of, like, nearing the launch and actually during the Kickstarter campaign, Rob and I were both surprised by how many questions we received about, you know, using it for pinhole. At that point, neither of us had any experience with pinhole photography. So, you know, we were first kind of thinking, it was like, wow, this is kind of out of left field. Like, why are so many people, you know, asking about this? But the more we sort of did our research and you know, reached out to the people who were asking those questions, the more we realized that, you know, something like the new box seems very fitted to, you know, pinhole photography. So we're definitely working on it. The shutter mechanism that we currently have doesn't accommodate a bulb mode. But the great thing about the modern design of it is that, you know, down the line, you'll be able to kind of switch out that shutter mechanism for a different one. Let's say, you know, if we want to offer a slower shutter speed or a faster shutter speed or one with an alternative design that does allow for bulb mode, then yeah, in that case, it would be super easy for somebody to kind of make their own pinhole plate, or we could even incorporate that into the design of the aperture sticks.
Sure.
All the aperture sticks are, you know, is a a stick that slots down in a vertical channel in the front of the camera in front of the lens to gate the light. And so having, you know, that just be a commercially purchased pinhole, such as the one sold by Reality So Subtle, is like an easy fix that we could do to kind of convert that into pinhole. So definitely know that it's on our minds. It's not going to be available as soon as the camera comes out, but we are, you know, keeping that possibility alive because we know that a lot of people are interested in it.
Okay.
Andre,
that's cool.
Andre, I'm here, by the way, just yes. In case you wondered. Andre, I have a, I think it's a Esther box camera, takes 1T film, and that has those little aperture slides. And if you want to change it between F8 to F11, I think, which is weird, you just slide a little metal thing over and it just changes the aperture. So that's the kind of idea you're talking about, I guess.
Yep. Yeah, it's that exact idea. A lot of those box cameras that have a little piece of metal that, you know, you lift up and sometimes they're kind of detented, that just kind of switch through the different apertures. You could just have, yes, you know, one be a pinhole aperture where you fit in an actual pinhole into that hole, and like, bam, you've got normal size apertures and now a pinhole aperture if you want.
That's cool.
And I missed the break in after the break, but did you tell our listeners about in the brief of where the background to the new box and where production there or its development?
Yeah. So if your listeners aren't familiar with the new box already, it is the debut product out of Ham Camera Company, started by my good friend Robert Ham. It's a 3D printed modular 120 box camera, natively a 6x9 format, with, you know, the possibility of, you know, masking that down to smaller formats down the line with different lens cartridges.
Sure.
You'll be able to change the lens cartridges to have like a normal wide and telephoto view. Apertures ranging from f5.6 to f32, as well as we mentioned, the possibility for a pinhole aperture down the line. And at the moment, a fixed 1/200th of a second shutter speed.
Well, I mean, 1/200th is at least, I mean, you've got, what have you got, maybe 1/50th or 1/60th with most of the older box cameras, and they could be slower than that because they get a bit gummed up, don't they? So, mm-hmm. You know, 1/200th would be perfect.
Some of mine, like my slowest one of one that's like pretty old, I think it's my Kodak number 2 Brownie from like 1934, is 1/20th of a second. So it's definitely a tripod affair.
But you see, with 200, you can put speed in there and it would probably be perfect, you know?
Yeah.
Speed in all those old box cameras anyway. It's fine. And my Holger, I always stick HP5 in. But 200 just makes it a little bit more usable, doesn't it, really? So that's cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what we're kind of... That's one of the reasons why we stuck with an aperture like that, was just to make it as usable as possible for as many people as possible. And with something like HP5, with Portra, like, those films are so forgiving in terms of their latitude that, you know, we really wanted to make it like as point and shootable as possible, but also for the people that want to, you know, meter with it, you know, change the aperture, you know, down, like open it up to 5.6 on a 6x9. You can definitely do that and get some nice shallow depth of field.
Cool.
And not that we're in the slightest bit interested lenses, but does it have a glass lens?
It does indeed have a glass lens. It is not a plastic lens. It's a nice, like, you know, optical grade glass lens, which is, you know, very, very exciting. Don't get me wrong. I love my Holgas and, you know, my plastic lenses, but, you know, if I'm going to be taking the time to kind of, you know, meter and set my aperture to 5.6 and take advantage of the shallow depth of field format, you know, I want that to be a glass lens. I want it to be as sharp as possible.
Yeah. I want it to be a pinhole lens.
You mean a pinhole hole?
Yeah, that's right.
So where are you in the because it was a Kickstarter, right? And I have to, for my shame, I have to say it's one of the fact. I think at the time I was probably, my wife isn't listening to this, she doesn't listen to this. I was probably paying off something, maybe a Pentax or a large format camera or something else.
That's understandable. We've all been there.
So
yeah, so we
I watched it and wished it well, but and I will buy into it once it's launched. But tell us where you are with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if people have been watching Rob's backer update videos, you'll know that we've encountered a little bit of an issue in terms of the combination of one of the printers that we bought and the resin that we were choosing. All of our prototypes were done with, you know, your standard, you know, consumer grade 3D printers, and the more sort of industrial one that we purchased, unfortunately, just wasn't playing nice with the type of resin that we chose. So that put us behind a little bit. Hopefully, that won't delay the actual release. We're still shooting for a late July, you know, ship out date for all the Kickstarter backers. But we're switching over to a different resin now, which additionally is a little bit kind of more friendly on the lungs. I think sitting in his you know, cramped office, printing these things day in, day out, and figuring these things out definitely got Rob sick, you know, on more than one occasion from probably printing all those fumes. So
yeah, I didn't know 3D printing was a hazardous occupation. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's more complicated than it seems, and than what a lot of people give it credit for. I think the perception that, you know, you just upload the 3D, you know, file into the printer and hit print
and let it go, it
comes out perfect. You know, that's unfortunately a very, very overly simplistic view of it. But, you know, Rob's working hard. I'm doing what I can to assist and sort of help brainstorm. I don't have much like experience in the actual like engineering side of it during the campaign, and like prior to the campaign, I was more kind of doing PR with them. And now, like with the semester, like, you know, picking things up and me getting this internship, I've been helping out Rob more in terms of like you know, when you're getting stuck on something, you know, give me a call. We'll work it out. We'll brainstorm together. And he's a very good dear friend of mine. So whenever we want to just sort of work through a problem together, you know, it's very easy for us to spend 2-3 hours on the phone just chatting about it.
Yeah,
I think it's a fabulous project, and I wish you really all the best success, and I hope you know, you get your problems ironed out, and you possibly can, because I'm watching the development of the lab box. I don't know. I don't think Corey backed it. I think maybe.
No, I didn't back it.
They're getting that. You know, there's a lot of bad as well, but, you know, they're spending a lot of time on getting that product right and making it a really useful product. Yes, yeah, and you know, you've got the thing, haven't you, Andre? I heard you talk about it.
Actual lights branded, but it's Agfa Rocket Axe 35U. I love that thing. Mine leaks a little bit, but if you look at the pictures that Ars Imago has been you know, putting out in their backer updates, and you compare them, I actually went back and opened up the original, you know, Kickstarter campaign. If you look at the design of the reels, the design of like the little multi-format kind of ramp thing that
it's completely different, isn't it?
Completely different, and you can see that they're you know, actively taking the time that they need to make it better than the original design was. And I'd much rather have that and wait, because I don't have any problem using Patterson tanks. You know, I mainly wanted to support a cool idea, and there are some times where I just wanted to develop one roll of film quickly.
Sure. Now we don't have any grumpy people listening to the podcast, mainly because we probably don't have that many people. podcast, but we don't have any grumpy people. And look, for those that are listening out there, if you've backed a Kickstarter, you are not buying a product. Now, I'm sure you know this, really, because you're all good, happy people. You're investing in an idea, and there's no guarantee of. Yep. So wish these guys well. If you're going to back these things, you're backing an idea and a concept and a development. And the guys who are doing it
are working hard.
are working hard and shoot film and be nice. That's the expression.
Shoot pinholes and be nice.
Shoot pinholes, be nice. Yeah, even better.
So what did everybody do last week? I think I went for a walk and it ended up being 24 miles and 3 days.
24 miles? That's nothing.
I know, right? For me, it is. But see, Andrew, we have hills here. You guys are just flat over there.
No, we have some hills in Cambridge here that are slight hills. 2 years running, I walked 46 miles in, starting at 4 o'clock in the morning, midnight. I did that 2 years running. And, but it was 10 years ago. Yes.
I bet you.
It was flat. But we had rain 1 year and it didn't stop raining and I was walking through mud. And the next year it was baking hot and it was just horrible with the sunshine.
You must have great calves, Andrew.
Yeah, they're and you should see my thighs.
Oh my God! So I shot.
They look great when I put my miniskirt on. They're.
My plans were nothing as exciting as that. I had sat for final exam, so you know I didn't get to do a whole lot of shooting. But you know now I'm free. I'm able to go out and visit my local camera stores, hunt for some treasures, shoot some pinholes. So
come down to the coast. You should come down to the coast.
I don't know if I've got time to do that, but I've got the graduation ceremony stuff in a couple of days. I'm participating in the graduation ceremony stuff right now, but I still have one more semester left in this upcoming fall because I had to take one off for heart surgery. Mm. And so my parents are coming down, you know, doing all that. It's honestly more for them than it is for me. I'd be very, you know, content if I just didn't have to go to anything. But, you know, I think it'll be really good for them.
Andre, heart surgery? Whose heart surgery?
My heart surgery.
Did you know? I didn't know anything about that. What is everything fine? Everything fine? Well, you mentioned
everything's
it.
Fine.
You brought it up.
He got a tune-up. He got a tune-up, and he got his valves replaced.
Yes, I've got exactly.
Got some new heart.
My son's best mate. He had a mechanical valve fitted, I think, and he can actually hear it. He can hear it tick. He can hear it ticking. If you know, tick 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 tick. Yeah.
Weird.
That's exactly what I have. I had my aortic valve replaced, the valve of the largest blood vessel in your body replaced with a shiny new mechanical one that will, you know, outlive me. And it ticks just like a watch. Was super annoying to begin with because
amazing, isn't it? It's amazing.
Out of my head, but now it's just like, you know, background radiation. Your brain filters it out. You don't notice it unless you're paying attention, but
right. Crazy.
Yeah.
I think I can hear it now. No, wait a second. That's my pen tapping on the table.
Yeah, it's my clock right here in Cyprus.
Oh my God. Well, let's take a break then on that note. And when we come back, we can do some shout outs and then let everybody know.
I can tell you what I've been doing, but shall I do?
Oh yeah. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Andrew. No,
okay.
Yeah.
Don't mind me. Don't mind me. I made loads of notes in my thorough research for the show. Last weekend, I packed a camera bag and went to Liverpool, where my daughter is studying philosophy and sociology. And we took a trip out to Crosby Beach, which I'd mentioned before, because that's where all these statues are on the beach of Anthony Gormley, all these bronze casts in the beach.
Aren't they gone at high tide? They're covered up at high tide?
Yeah, they all. There's about 100 of these things, and they all face. And they're kind of contemplating the past and the nautical heritage. And they're all on on sandbanks, which, if you're not careful, is also mud. You can go too far out and end up sinking up to your neck in this stuff. Yikes. But these make just fantastic pinhole subjects. And if you just Google another place, you'll see stuff on there and six. Edwards, I think it is. Glyn did some pictures the other week, and he posted them on the on the AMP page.
He did.
So I was back there photographing this. I'd photographed them a few years ago, but we went with my daughter and it was sunny and the tide was out, and I shot four frames of HFP4 on 5 with a new Zero camera.
Ooh.
And but I could only get the tripod to go so high, which was a bit embarrassing. This body cast, let me just say, it's a full body cast complete with dangling willy, okay? am I allowed to say willy on the podcast? Well, I've sure. said it twice. So somebody commented and said, well, that's an interesting camera angle. I said, well, I can't get it up any higher. And then I immediately regretted saying that.
So set yourself up for that.
I did. I'm always one for throwing the ball up and let others hit it. So I also had my Zero 2000 with me, and I had loaded into there some expired Pan F35mm film.
Cool.
So I was doing my sprocket entry. My winning sprocket entry is on there somewhere.
How much are you paying Alex?
Yeah, Alex is our judge, and he really doesn't like sprocket photography, so that'll be interesting.
Makes it perfect.
Yeah. And then I shot The Reality So Subtle. I think that was FP4, and that was in and around some cool places in Liverpool. And awesome. I shall be developing all of those in Tanol, T-A-N-O-L, staining developer. If I ever get home from Cyprus.
I've never tried it before, so well, I'll we'll have to give it a try.
We'll talk about staining developers in one of the shows coming up, I think.
Cool.
Because I know a little bit, but not much, but do a bit more research.
I know
so it was very exciting. So I've now got about 12 rolls of film sitting in my darkroom, and I've got a couple of rolls hanging up ready for scanning, and I'm hoping this Saturday I can get the rest developed and maybe do some printing and maybe do some scanning, but we'll see how things go.
Well, let's go chop chop. Let's see it.
Yeah.
All right, and now we'll take a break.
Right here, mate.
We'll be right back. Bye. Hello, Andrew and Andre made it back.
Hi.
All right.
Hi.
Everyone's so, back.
So I've let's do some shout outs here over some accounts that we've been following that inspire us and we really like. I have one that I've been following that's called I'm gonna say this wrong, so I apologize, but A Fist for Pinhole, A-P-A-P-H-I-S for Pinhole, P-H-I-S. FORPINHOLE.
You gotta be really careful how you say that.
Okay. I know, right? But they're out of Italy, and they do a lot of black and white. And it seems like they're using homemade cameras. And it seems like it's just more of a collective than it is one person. But that's a really great account. And the other account I like is Torsten Schmidt. Are you guys? Do either of you guys follow him? It's Torsten Ohin. Ohina. Mm-hmm. Torsten Ohina. Mm-hmm. TORSTNOHNEH. He does a lot of landscapes, and he uses an Ondu.
Yeah.
But I really like both of those accounts. They're really good. You should check them out.
I will do. Yes. I don't think I'm familiar with either of those. Not a fistful of pinholes, anyway. So we'll check him out. it's getting late.
Yeah.
So Andrew, what about me? Well, I've in my thorough research I did leading up to the program, I was reminded of the wonderful folk I met over World Pinhole Day, and I want to give a shout out to the lovely lady from the Netherlands, Inge van Leipzig. And she's at Light Camera Inga, Frau Inga, I think she might be known as elsewhere, but she's at Light Camera Inga. And she shoots with Holgers, some just beautiful. I first got in touch with Inga when through Polaroid Week. I've been shooting expired Polaroids for years, and she's just a classy Polaroid shooter. and she does pinhole as well. And she started along with Alex, who's on the show soon, and maybe we'll get her on as well if she's agreed to it.
Yeah.
She started the meetup, the worldwide pinhole meetup, the transatlantic meetup. So they did the first one, I think, in Holland. And the two of them, then it just grew and grew. So she has a reality subtle 4x5, I think I saw somewhere. So
nice.
She didn't have that with her in Norwich. I can't remember what she was shooting with. I think it was a reality camera. But yeah, she's great. So check out Inge at Light Camera Inga, and that's my only shout out.
Easy enough, Andre.
Yeah, love to check her out. My shout out today is a woman by the name of Daphne Schnitzer. You guys might have seen her recent, you know, I am blank and this is why I shoot film article on emulsive.org. Uh-huh. She's a really, really interesting, you know, mainly seascapes pinhole photographer. And I also got a kick out of the fact that, you know, she was saying that one of her favorite films right now is the Cinestill 50D, which, you know, yes, you know, shameless plug, but I haven't seen that many people do anything with the Cinestill films on pinhole cameras. I know that I'm definitely going to be doing that quite a bit. I hope to do some long
Andre,
exposure.
Andre, yeah, what's Andre, up? I'd love to use the Cinestill 50D. Just saying.
Corey's got the beautiful blessing of being domestic and having domestic shipping, but I'll see what I can do.
Oh, Corey doesn't mind. He's my personal shipper. He ships things all the time.
I might send you some. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think we'll have to see.
No, Graham has got like 250 feet. He's bought something that's
it's Vision 3 250D, I believe.
Yeah, and he partially did message me. Graham, you did message me, listen, and promise me a few rolls, but you've been awfully quiet. I don't know whether it's because he hasn't managed to work out how to get it off this big roll and put it into cassettes, which I suspect is the case.
I'm pretty sure that's what's going on.
Did he buy a 400 foot roll or a 100 foot roll?
No, more than that. He might have, I think it might be 400 feet, actually.
Oh, God.
And
and knowing him, even a quarter of that is going to take him a lifetime to finish.
It has
because he doesn't shoot film.
No, he just talks about it. He doesn't do it. No, actually, I've been with him, and I've shot film with him, so I know he does, on occasion, shoot film. And he did that wonderful, pinhole-esque, myopic me series, which was just brilliant. I did love his biopic me.
I like those.
Yeah. So he's an honorary pinhole photographer, and I think he did make a pinhole camera once. I think he can talk about that.
Out of a pepper? Out of green pepper?
He talked about that, didn't he? I can't remember, but I'm sure he's made a couple, but, you know.
That's what they did for the last Worldwide Pinhole Day.
Is that what it was? Green pepper?
Yeah. Rachel used a coconut. And Graham used a green pepper instead of a red pepper. Why wouldn't you use a red pepper, Graham? What's the problem?
Well, you'd get more contrast with a red pepper, wouldn't you?
And Graham needs all the contrast he can get.
He does, yeah. Yeah, he mustn't be too nasty, Graham. Himself.
Oh, he'll be all right.
He'll come back on the podcast with a vengeance.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, Andre, at this point, we'll let you let everybody know where to find you at outside
absolutely
of this podcast
so,
right now.
I have recently kind of restarted my Instagram. Previously it was at adominguez64. Now it's at Andre on film. Andre on and film are separated by periods. There's currently nothing on there. I'm still kind of in the process right now of like cleaning up the mess of my apartment that was left after studying for final exams and, you know, doing a little bit of file organization of my scans on my computer, but definitely expect some pinhole stuff to feature prominently on there moving forward. And as always, you can hear me on Sunday nights/Monday mornings for our friends across the pond on the Negative Positives podcast with the great Mike Gutterman.
Awesome. Mm. Cool. Okay, Andrew, so where can we find you?
Well, you can find me specifically at Warboys Snapper, WARBOYSSNAPPER. And that's on Flickr and Twitter and Instagram, and also Warboys Snapper _ pinholes. But more importantly than me, they will know that we've now launched a Twitter account. So that's at The Lensless, and we've got 85 followers on there, so I'm really pleased, considering it's only been a week or so. And we have a Facebook group, which I was so inspired by the work that Andre's doing with Negative Positive that we've launched that, and that's starting to gain a bit of traction. And we may put some there. Somebody volunteered to do that for us, Andre. Or we may, on the Anchor app, we don't know yet, but somehow we'll have some show notes either on the Facebook group page or via the app, and we'll.
Yeah.
And probably we're going to launch a Flickr site fairly soon, so you can follow us at The Lensless on Twitter or join our Facebook group.
And, that's a lot. Holy cow.
last but by no means least, Corey, where can we find you?
Instagram for me is at Pinhole Cannon.
And well, we've lost Andre.
Yeah.
He's gone. Right. He's. We don't need him any longer. Where can we find you, Corey?
That's on Instagram at Pinhole Cannon. And I run, I guess I pay attention to the show's Instagram page, which is The Lensless Podcast on Instagram.
Yeah, you do. And a great job you do too. Yeah.
I don't like all the social media.
Well, I'm a bit of a Twitter fan, so Twitter fanboy, so yeah. I'll keep on top of that. Mainly it'll be me who's responding to you, but not always.
Yeah. And you'll we have a regular email too. You can get in contact with us at thelensesspodcast@yahoo.com.
So if you've got ideas and topics you want us to cover, we can take the pinhole interpretation fairly loosely and branch into slightly related areas to do with image making and what sort of images you like to photograph, particularly with pinhole, what floats your boat with image making. And if you've got any people you want to point us towards who you think would make great guests, then do that, because we're going to try and get people on most weeks. You know what? It just makes life easier, doesn't it, Todd? Todd, who are you? Corey. You there, mate?